Kentucky Shakespeare Festival's 50th summer season will open in Central Park on the 16th of June. It continues throughout the summer with productions of The Tempest and Richard III. I'm talking with the new artistic director of the Kentucky Shakespeare Festival, Brantley Dunaway. So this is the 50th anniversary for the season, but you're first with Kentucky Shakespeare Festival, so welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, this is kind of a very exciting time to be joining Kentucky Shakespeare, being its 50th year. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that we actually chose the organization, is because of the deep-rooted legacy that they've been able to create over a large number of years. Very appealing.
Yeah, so. It's the oldest in the country. I don't think a lot of people know that.
It is actually the oldest free, independent Shakespeare Festival continually running in the country. So that's kind of a big surprise and a big honor. So.
Yeah. Now, you're just moving to Louisville, coming from Southern California, but you've lived a lot of places. Let's talk a little bit about your history. Where did you start out?
Sure. Well, I was actually born in Atlanta, Georgia, and come from an entertainment family. And my first stage experience was with the Southern Ballet and the Atlanta Ballet as a Nutcracker at the tender age of 6, and looking out of the historic Fox Theater at the thousands of packed room, and it was almost like that drug, and I had to do it. And from that point on, I, you know, commercials and regional theater and a little bit of television, did some time at Nickelodeon, did a little stint doing the soap opera circuit in New York and some theater programs. And, you know, up until my mid-20s, I kind of took it for granted. It was like having a pool in your backyard. Where you went, I'll always be able to go swimming in the backyard. And I finally had to get to the point that I went, you know, I'm really going to have to put some effort and behind, you know, really participating in theater and what that meant. And from that point on, I kind of grew up around the South and then moved to Denver, Colorado, where I ran the Denver Civic Theater for a few years, regional theater.
And if people haven't been to Denver and to the theaters there, it's an amazing complex. I mean, just... How many blocks undercover?
Oh, geez. It's 3 blocks undercover. But it's, you know, big city blocks. And it has a very rich theater community, both from, you know, a small theater level all the way up to, you know, the Denver Center and the National Theater Conservatory, which, you know, sadly enough, rumor has it that our nation's only congressional conservatory is... It may be going away.
Oh, that would be sad.
The economy is kind of playing a tough toll on them, so we're sad to see them go and kind of reach out as an artistic community, hoping they will find their way.
Oh, let's hope so. Hope from your mouth to God's ear.
Exactly. So from there, I ended up moving to Vancouver, British Columbia.
Beautiful place.
Thank you. And ran the center in Vancouver for the performing arts, which is actually... the footprint of the center in Vancouver. It's the old Ford Theater in New York.
Okay. All right.
Which was originally created by Live Ent. And it was at home to several Broadway productions and Broadway tours. And we produced, did not only road shows, but also produced our own in-house and launched several national tours from that facility, including 42nd Street and the Full Monty.
And you were involved with all of that.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's absolutely correct. So it was nice to have a insider's front row ticket to be in, you know, to be really in touch with some of those iconic productions that we see throughout the country.
Now, what does it take to become a producer on Broadway? I mean, I guess the first image that'll pop to some people's mind is, of course, Zero Mostel. Is it like that?
Well, I tell you, if there was a psychoanalysis of those who become producers on Broadway in New York, they've got to be a little bit clinically insane. In fact, I think the new DSM-4-5 will probably have its very own psychological description of a producer. But, you know, it really starts with relationships and having a connection with some core content material. You blend that with a business prowess and acumen and a little gutsy jump. And that's kind of how that all turns to play.
Well, you've sort of got to have guts just to be in theater. I mean, I jumped out of it early because I like to eat. And radio seemed like a safer way to go, which just shows you how really tough theater is. But you're now, as the producing artistic director of Kentucky Shakespeare Festival, going to be mentoring a lot of young actors who are just coming into the business and getting their feet wet. You've got interns from all over the country this year.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, again, that's one of the things that I found so appealing. And when my wife and I looked at what we wanted to do and what was the next phase of our life personally, we really sought to find a community that we could invest our resources in, and a community that truly demonstrated its passion for the humanities and the expression of it and the responsibility that follows in that passion. And Louisville has really done an exemplary job at really being that kind of mass that supports the arts in all forms and in all mediums. And we find that very, very appealing. Kentucky Shakespeare Festival has just recently been awarded a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts for its excellence in education. And it, as an organization, has really embraced that model to where, you know, not only are we creating artists, but we're creating an appreciation for the art. I can tell you a story of a young man from a rural town in Kentucky who was sitting in his classroom one day and didn't really know much about Shakespeare and didn't really know much about the arts. And that call came that they were going to have a trip, and this theater company was going to show up, and they were going to teach them about Shakespeare. And in his mind, he's thinking, wow, no more math and science. I would love to go. So he goes to the assembly and enjoys himself and stays out of trouble. And years later, he ends up going to a university and getting his degree in business. And soon he grows to be one of the largest executives of Bank of America. That young man returned to Louisville and became Kentucky Shakespeare's largest individual donor. And also is our current board president, Mac Thompson. So when we illustrate what we're able to do and what the impact is that Kentucky Shakespeare does, is we really affect children's lives and teach them words of leadership and courage and honor and dreams and love and passion and deceit and vengeance, and help them really understand the idea of living and what it means to live. And not only are we creating an appreciation, but we're creating those next leaders that take that respect and honor for the humanities and spreading it throughout the rest of our business world.
Right.
You know, one thing that the theater world has struggled with over the last 10 years is a, you know, decline in season ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get these young audiences to go? And the only single answer that we've been able to come up with is education. So to invest in the young people of today, you know, it really grows into tomorrow. And even our interns are absolutely fantastic. I have to commend them. They're from Texas and Virginia and the hometown of Kentucky. And we've got another one from Oregon doing all different kind of things. And they're converging on Louisville. And we hope to provide an experience for them that will not only be an enjoyable summer, but last a lifetime.
Well, you're right, of course. I mean, theater education, music education, all kinds of education in the schools have been whittled away as budgets have dried up in the schools. And groups like Kentucky Shakespeare Festival have really filled the void by providing residencies, providing workshop opportunities, providing these short-term opportunities for professionals to come in from outside and do what teachers used to do in the schools.
Correct. And it's, you know, it's one of the things, we have a page-to-stage program that where we even go to the teachers and do a residency program with teachers, and we teach teachers how to incorporate Shakespeare into their own curriculum. And that may be history, it may be art, it may be literature, English, so forth and so on. And how do you, you know, even down to conflict resolution, and how that affects the greater world around us, and how we can use that as a tool. So we do quite a comprehensive program. In fact, you know, one of our next big focuses for Kentucky Shakespeare is, and something that we have looked at doing for the last number of years, or the organization has looked at, is we want to start focusing on affecting the industry as a whole, meaning how do we create opportunities for those that truly desire to have, you know, employment in the arts? How do they make it as an artist? And you mentioned that before, choosing going to radio. Ramen noodles may be our friend.
Yes,
not
indeed.
To advertise, but there we go. But, you know, within the next year or so, we are adding a professional training program.
Oh, wonderful.
That is focused on the classics, but focused on the professional actor who may come from all over the world. I know our instructors have experience from the RSC to Simon Fraser, from the Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington, D.C., to Stratford, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and they will also come to town and attract young folks to come here and really learn how to work on their craft and work on the skills that they have, and then have the opportunity to transition right into Kentucky Shakespeare's Festival in the Park.
That's wonderful. That's a great opportunity. Now, are you still doing Bard Behind Bars?
Bard Behind Bars is going strong.
Yeah.
We're doing really well. In fact, I must say that starting next year, we've expanded that program to where, you know, very similar to Shakespeare Behind Bars, we've launched a new program through the juvenile justice system. They're required to do 80 hours of service, and we're one of those services that they can participate in. So we've taken that to an even younger level, to where we're identifying kids that, you know, they may be on the fringe. They may have gotten a little bit of trouble here and there, but it's one of those turning points that are they truly going to spend the next 40 years in the system?
Right.
Or are we going to be able to, you know, offer an impact? And if we have the success that we've had with Shakespeare Behind Bars, and I believe we will, it will be something that really opens the horizons for them to think about the world in a broader way, and to think about humanity in a broader way. So we're very, very excited about that.
And that can be the key, just showing people at that age that there are other opportunities and other ways they can go.
Oh, exactly. And it's amazing that I think today, and every once in a while we'll run into a young person in their 20s, and he'll say, well, this is the first play I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, in my family growing up, going to theater was almost as important as church.
Yep.
And you wore a tie to both. The good news is if you come down to Shakespeare in the Park, you can wear flip-flops. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you'd probably want to, because it can get a little steamy.
It can. This year, we're doing something also a little new. We're able to offer a cool beverage for the appetite. For the first year, the Parks and Recreation in the city has given us permission to sell beer and wine.
Ah!
So we'll add a little different ambiance to the experience, and a little fruit and cheese plate and a glass of wine will serve us well.
Yeah, that'll be great. Well, let's do talk about the 50th season.
Sure.
And the shows that you've got lined up for this. You're doing a couple of the heavy hitters, shows that people will be probably familiar with, starting out with The Tempest.
The Tempest, yeah. This is going to be a very, very fun show. You know, we've been touring this show in the schools, a 90-minute version with three actors for the last year, and we are expanding the cast a bit, but this experience will definitely not only give the actors a bit of a challenge, as you will see many of them playing multiple characters and changing on a dime and having fun, but we've also installed in Central Park a 3,000-gallon pool. So some of this will actually be on a water stage.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a kind of a fantasy and fun and experience. So I'm something that you are sure to enjoy. Richard III, on the other hand, will be set in a more traditional medieval time. We'll be having a couple of guest appearances from our four-legged friends. Kentucky, being the home of thoroughbred and horse racing, we just could not resist the opportunity to put some of Kentucky's natives in our show.
Oh, really?
So we'll have a few equestrian surprises there as well.
Well, I mean, there is the famous line from Richard III, my horse, my kingdom for a horse. It only makes sense.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we're doing a few things very different. And our set designer, you know, we're building our set today. And our set designer has really wanted to go for the true authentic effect. And we've been giggling as 27 tons of rock are hauled into Central Park to add a more interesting environment. Mm. So.
Now, your directors for these shows, tell me a little bit about them.
Both of our directors this summer have been with the organization for a number of years, and it's really exciting to see some of their work. Pamela DePascal will be directing The Tempest. Mm-hmm. She is, for this summer, is actually also producing the entire summer season. I've been given a hall pass to be able to observe the organization and participate in which I can best affect. My full creative influence is probably will not take impact until next year.
Okay.
And she's done a stellar job. She has not only been running our education program, but has reported some record fundraising for the organization and is helming the directing and producing as well. Matt Wallace is directing. Uh-huh. Richard III and Matt, as you may know, has been working with our teen kids for a number of years.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful guy. Yeah. What a wonderful guy he is.
It's a great, great team over there.
Yeah. He's just very knowledgeable and a wonderful communicator and has a great vision. And his ability to, you know, engage the actor and work through the creative process is also quite admirable.
Well, and Pamela is also doing something with Twelfth Night this year that I think people are going to be interested in.
Yeah, Twelfth Night. It's a 45-minute adaptation, and they're using puppets and music and audience participation, and all wrapped around the text of Shakespeare. It's one of those things that they're doing special performances for the community. We won't see that on the main stage in Central Park, but it's one of our shows that's touring around, and a lot of our esteemed guests from our intern, our acting troupe, are touring around with that. So that's kind of exciting. And then we'll wrap up the summer with Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Which is the Globe Players. It's funny, and the love of family and community, that probably brings our largest audiences. Much Ado will be our high school program, and they'll be running for the last week, and they'll actually run from July 14th through July 18th. You know, one of the other things that I would encourage to invite your listeners to do is we are having an absolutely wonderful celebration on July 17th. It is a private party on the 25th floor of the Humana building.
Okay.
Where we're actually cutting the cake and doing Shakespeare Under the Stars. So we actually have several personalities from the community, both from the radio, television, corporate, and political world, joining us on the stage as we watch them do sonnets and scenes from Shakespeare, cutting a little cake and toasting a little wine and champagne as we kick off that party on July 17th. So if any of your listeners are interested in attending, they can please feel free to contact us. Just
give you a call at the office?
Yeah, they can call us at 637-4933, and we can pass on that information, and we would absolutely love to have them.
Brantley Dunaway, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Brantley Dunaway is the new producing artistic director of Kentucky Shakespeare Festival. If you'd like to know more about the 50th season, about any of their outreach programs, their educational opportunities, you can look for that online at www.kyshakes.org. Productions at the C. Douglas Ramey Amphitheater in Central Park will begin with The Tempest on June the 16th, and Richard III will be opening on June 30th and running through July the 11th. I'm Scott Dowd.